Golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed. Because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military industrial complex.
As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our home nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problem, to bring about the changes it wanted. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed and the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent.
Each one reach one, each one talk.
I cannot be silent.
Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit said work.
I cannot be silent.
Empowering the body, mind, and spirit. This is We Cannot Be Silent with Phil Rossino and Larry Pinckney.
Welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Monday evening, the 20th of May, 2013, and it's time for We Cannot Be Silent with your host, Phil Rossino and Larry Pinckney. And their guest tonight is the one and the only Jack Blood. Gentlemen, you have the floor, the spotlight, and the mics.
Well, thank you very much, Dave Corso of WolfSpiritRadio.com. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the May 2013 episode of We Cannot Be Silent. Some of you in the listening audience have heard our program before, but for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, my name is Phil Rossino, and I co-host this program with Larry Pinckney. And Larry and I have been doing this show once a month since our first program on Martin Luther King's birthday, actually, January 15, 2012. And tonight's program on the Wolf Spirit Radio Network will be for 2 hours. We do take a break at the top of the hour. And it is a call-in radio program. And I want to make sure I have this telephone number correct here. 775-657-5973. And one more time, if you want to write it down, it's 775-657-5973. And that's not the only way to participate in tonight's program. There is a chat room on the WolfSpiritRadio.com website. If you please go to WolfSpiritRadio.com, and you'll get to that home page and click on the chat button. That'll get you in there, and I believe Dave will be monitoring the chat from time to time. And there's another way you can get a question or comment in. We're going to have a pretty fiery show tonight, I think, because as Dave mentioned, we do have the one and only Jack Blood. Jack Blood is a veteran talk radio show host who for the past 18 years has interviewed some of the top experts, researchers, investigative reporters, historians, artists, whistleblowers, and political policymakers from all over the world. The Jack Blood Show broadcasts live each and every morning, Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time on the No Agenda Global Radio Network, and that's at nagradio.com. And the program's also rebroadcast later each day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And for more information on Jack Blood and the Jack Blood Show, please go to deadlinelive.info. There's an About button there that'll give you a background on Jack himself. And there's all kinds of other great information, and it's a wonderful news site that I recommend checking in on a daily basis. As I mentioned, my name is Phil Restino, and I got into this through the anti-war activism with Veterans for Peace. And it was through that effort that I got to meet Larry Pinkney back in 2011, and the thing that, you know, our title of the program is We Cannot Be Silent. I tend to not be silent either, and so we met Larry in 2011 as our Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace was for the third year in a row pushing the impeachment of President Obama for the same war crimes that Veterans for Peace and all the other anti-war organizations had cited in their very strong public call for impeaching President Bush. And I came across this article, Is It Time to Impeach Barack Obama, by Larry Pinkney on the Black Commentator of all things, you know, because at that time, early years of the Obama presidency, and even to this very day, you know, if you question the first black president, you know, you must be racist. You know, so to have this come from the Black Commentator, and then I looked up Larry Pinkney, sought him out, and got to know him and his background, and this is a fella I really wanted to get to know, and I'm so glad that he was open to that. Larry Pinkney is a veteran of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Now, that's the original Black Panther Party that started in October of 1966. And Larry was very active in the Black Panther Party, and at that time, so was the COINTELPRO program on the part of our U.S. government that wanted to, as they say, neutralize groups like the Black Panther Party. And eventually Larry was neutralized. He was set up and sent to prison and was a political prisoner for about 10 years in some of the toughest prisons out in California and Canada. And Larry did eventually get out of prison after 10 years and went right back to, well, he never did leave the activism, but he hit the ground running and continues to this very day to be a true peace and justice activist. And regardless of people's colors or backgrounds or what have you, so Larry Pinkney does write a column for two publications each week. And we'll get to talking about the this week's columns in a few minutes. But he writes for the BlackCommentator.com. BlackCommentator.com. The column there is Keeping It Real with Larry Pinkney. And he also writes for the Intrepid Report, and that's IntrepidReport.com. And he's put out this week, once again, two dynamite columns. And if you want to see Larry's work altogether, you can go to blackactivist, blackactivistwg.org, and that's blackactivistwg.org, and you will see all Larry's work going back 40 years and all his interviews, TV and radio and such. So there's the background. I want to apologize to all of you who've heard it before, but like we said, there may be some new listeners tonight. So with that, I'm going to first introduce our co-host, Larry Pinkney, and let him get a few words in. Larry, are you there?
Of course I'm here. I just want to say thank you to, first and foremost, thank you to our audience. Thank you to our listeners who are all from all over the world, who are indeed all over Mother Earth. I want to thank all of you. And then, of course, a great big hug of love, respect, and gratitude to our very special guest this evening, none other than Jack Blood himself. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's get down and take care of some business problems.
Okay, we'll get it going now. And as Larry mentioned, tonight's guest, we really are excited to have Jack Blood, a veteran radio host who's been in the business for years and has interviewed some real heavies over the years and continues to do so on his morning radio program. I first became aware of Jack Blood a few years back when I first woke up, actually, to the 9/11 truth and started plugging into the GCN network. That was a lot of the programs were broadcasting out of Austin, Texas, and Jack would come on 4 o'clock every day, and there weren't many days I'd miss old Jack. And over time, Jack's program went to different networks, and he kept that time slot for a while, and now he's on the 10 a.m. to 12 noon. But Jack, why don't we let you tell a little bit about yourself and where you're at today, and introduce yourself to the audience. Jack?
Yeah, Phil, well, thanks for having me on, and right back at you. The Pink Panther, Larry, is just a great, great, an amazing American folk hero, or maybe anti-hero, depending on who's keeping score. Because every time I have Larry on my show, people just write and love him and want him back immediately, and I take advantage of him and have him on every week if he'd let me. He just really gets going and wakes everybody up in the morning, and I'm just so glad you're still around with us, Larry, and they haven't locked you up and you know all the bad things that can happen, but they don't. Because why? Because we're bold and they can't get us all. And Phil, man, it's such a great pleasure being with you and the people doing this network. Phil and I have known each other for a long time, and he is just tireless. I think, Larry, you would agree with that. So yes. Let's pat you on the back a little bit, Phil, because I don't think there's a day you rest in getting the word out and telling people what's going on with our government and with the multiple wars going on in multiple theaters and some of the things that are happening that are shameful in our name. And that's why I do what I do. So my job is to deprogram, not program people. I don't have a program. I have a show. So we try to deprogram, unlearn, and de-illusion people without disillusioning them. We try not to use what I call, you know, a fear porn tactic. I'm not here to scare people. I'm not a preacher. We don't preach fire and brimstone. We try to preach, if anything, empowerment and self-empowerment. And so we spend a lot of time decoding the mainstream media, and basic outright propaganda. A lot of times you're going to hear the left-wing version or the right-wing version or the Republican or the Democrat version of things, the Demopublican version of things, I might call it. We try to give people the closest thing to the truth that we know. We draw on, 15 years of experience of just, you know, compiling massive amounts of research and talking to some of the brightest minds in the world, and use that to read between the lines sometimes and then to find direct information. I am just so lucky and so fortunate, Phil, to have contacts with people like Larry all over the world and we get a lot of great information. So we try to do that live and fresh and try to do it with a sense of humor and a sense of purpose every morning.
You sure do, Jack. It is a real treat to have you on the air, and no BS. No BS, and people are tired of the BS.
Say real quick that, you know, whatever meditations that we have that we can send to the people of Oklahoma City and Oklahoma, where a massive disaster hit today. And without sounding too cynical, I have to think that the people in that White House are pretty, I don't want to say they're happy about this happening, but it's definitely going to take some heat off of them. It was almost a perfectly timed disaster. But you just can't feel enough. You know, that tornado hit two elementary schools in Oklahoma. They're still looking for those kids while we're doing this broadcast. So, you know, anything that we can send in the way of a positive, experience, positive meditation to the people over there and everywhere where people are suffering, I think that's part of our job. And also, I found out before we went on the show today that Ray Manzarek from The Doors just died. And, you know, The Doors were a big influence on me. I use them for my intro for my show all the time. And I'm a huge believer that culture, the cultural revolution, might be just as important, if not more important, than the political revolution. So to Ray and his family and his people, our thoughts are with you. And rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And folks can always go to deadlinelive.info and get up-to-date news and commentary. And I imagine there'll be information on there about this this tornado out there in Oklahoma City. I wanted to get to Larry's articles, Jack, which might feed our conversation tonight. And of course, you know, you want to take it wherever you want to take it. That's fine with us. And, at some point we might be getting some callers calling in. And, just to let folks know, I'm in Florida. Larry's in Minnesota, Jack's in Atlanta, and Dave's out and God knows where the heck he is. So we can't see each other. And so it's hard to, feed off each other visually. So if the calls come in, it may be a little a bit of a surprise to us or whoever. So please bear with us, and we're going to do the best we can. Our thing here, Jack, is Larry and I, as you know, a lot of our work is to get beyond the entrapment, you know, gatekeep, this corral of the people with the left-right paradigm, you know. And we believe that let me just read right from Larry's column. I'm looking at the Intrepid Report column from this week. Will we allow ourselves to be made extinct? Is the name of this title. Will We Allow Ourselves to Be Made Extinct, by Larry Pinkney, intrepidreport.com. And the last two sentences Larry finishes up with here. Real change will only be brought about by we ordinary everyday people ourselves, from the bottom up, not the top down. We must save ourselves, each other, and our precious Mother Earth. Everything, literally everything, is at stake. Time is of the essence. We will not allow ourselves to be made extinct. And I really believe that the time is now, man. We can't let this thing go much further, or we're done. And so I certainly agree with Larry's sentiment there. And on the other column, which is the Black Commentator, Keeping It Real with Larry Pinkney, the May 16th issue, Mythology, Lies, and the American Way of Violence. And towards the latter part of that article, And here's something that we have. If we're going to come together, we have to realize what Larry's saying here. You will never agree with every single thing that other ordinary everyday people might say or believe, nor should you. However, we must learn, and quickly, to find our common ground with each other and adhering to fundamental principles built upon that common ground. As we every people are all systemically oppressed, and we have far more in common with each other than the pimping systemic slave masters would have you know. Understanding this represents the real power of the people. And I'd like to turn this over to Larry, which, and he can get it going with you, Jack, if you don't mind. Larry, you often talk about this this common ground, and you know that in order to get together with somebody, you don't have to agree with them on all kinds of things. And if you are, then somebody's lying. Is that how you say it, Larry?
That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You know what? The bottom line is that we are humans. We're not robots. We're not machines. We're not computers. We're human beings. And as Jack often points out, Jack Blood often points out on his program and others, that you know, it's important for us to critically think. And with having said that, you know, I want to go to our guests. I want to go to Jack. Jack, take it where you want to take it, my brother. Take it where you want to take it tonight.
Every time you go there, I hear Sly and the Family Stone singing Everyday People, man. I just can't help it. So I thank you for that, my brother. Listen, because this is what we're talking about, and I love this article. I love that you started with the quote from Albert Camus, "The purpose of the writer is to keep civilization from destroying itself." And look at who the targets are now, the writers that really write, that just don't repeat. You know, there's a big difference between reporters and repeaters. And unfortunately, what we have in the Fourth Estate, which is almost considered, you know, the branch of the government that is not under any umbrella, that is supposed to not be under any regulations, that is run and completely pushed by the power of the people. That's what they are. They've been repeating, and they've been teaching people to repeat and to think in groups, which is, you know, good old groupthink. And it is reminiscent of cult behavior. In fact, I had an incident today where I espoused an opinion on my broadcast that somebody didn't like, and they'd been listening for years, and they were ready to attack me, throw me under the bus, come get me, tell everybody how terrible I was, and I'm like, well, man, you haven't learned much listening to my show, because the thing is, we all have opinions, and it's so important what you're talking about, Larry, because if we all sit and try to agree with each other, we really are organizing a cult. And unfortunately, I see these all over the alternative politics, alternative media landscape. So what we've done is we've gotten off of one, you know, piece of a form of crack, one drug in the mainstream media, and we've gone right to another drug. And we're now exhibiting some of the same behavior with the controlled, gatekeeping, alternative media. You look at the George Soros operations or the Koch brother operations, and they have been insidiously infiltrating every form of communication and every form of information that you can possibly find. And there is a definite method to this expenditure, and that is to control all public opinion. That was the aim of Operation Mockingbird that launched from the CIA in 1963 to control all public opinion. And they use things like UNESCO, the Tavistock Institute, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the education system, even higher learning and higher education, and most importantly, peer pressure and groupthink to get people to stay in the herds. And now what we're finding out is, well, if we see something, we should say something. Our neighbor, he looks pretty nice, but so did that guy that killed all those people yesterday. So now I need to start, you know, as another sheep, I need to start monitoring my fellow sheep. They don't even need sheep herders anymore. And I can't remember who said it, but the perfect police state has no police. I'm worried that we are falling into that morass. So this is a very important topic, though it is, and we can point to what the elites are motivated by and, you know, where, what they're trying to cover up. And these are all very important conversations. One of the most important things we can learn all as individuals, as everyday people, is to think for ourselves and not to judge people, any more than we want to be judged ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Jack, you know, there are two things I have to say. The last thing about judging people, not any more than we want to be judged ourselves. Right on, my brother. The second thing, which is really the first thing, that you said, with respect to everybody, everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, we are, being herded. As you said, it's a herd, H-E-R-D, herd mentality. We have to break out of the herd. And, you know, Jack, one of the things that you and others, you know, have done, repeatedly over the decade, and I say with an S, decade, okay, is that you have urged people to critically think. Now, I'm going to take this somewhere, and I'm going to ask you this. There is no forewarning, but here it comes. Jack, what's your impression with respect to the Obamatron? I call him Drone Man Obama. Drone Man Obama, NDAA signing, Section 1021 or Provision 1021 Obama, you know. What is your take, if you will, on the latest developing, if you will, developing stories as they relate to the Associated Press, which I have no great love for, but anyway, with respect to the Associated Press, and with respect to the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, what's your take on those two things?
Well, I mean, is there anything good that comes from the IRS? Ultimately, what we have here, there's two things. First, in the AP scandal, where they went in and they monitored and dug in and found and tried to track sources by alleged credited, as you say, and legitimate reporters. I have to laugh almost kind of why I say that about the Associated Press, but okay. Because what the message they're trying to show is that if they can do it to AP, they can certainly do it to Jack Blood or to Larry Pinkney or to Phil Restino or to, Wolf Radio or to any of us out there. So they're making an example at the very highest level. And the excuse that they're using, which they're getting away with, is national security. They want to protect the identities of their spies. And that anybody that doesn't understand that, I guess, love it or leave it, right? I mean, here we are again. Does this sound like George Bush to anyone? So we have basically boxed ourselves in by allowing, and I didn't stand idly by at all for the entire 8 years from the first day to the last day in the Bush administration. I was called a left-wing American-hating terrorist. You know, when Obama gets in, I'm a right-wing American-hating terrorist, racist on top of it. So in that AP scandal, the freedom of the press is so important that all else can fall by the wayside. And I think AP is certainly responsible enough not to give away, you know, secrets of national security. In fact, even when we look at the Bradley Manning case and the WikiLeaks case, he didn't give away any real secrets of national security. He didn't expose anything other than the, you know, malevolent behavior, which is some psychosymptom of our troops, because that's how they're being trained to be engaged in psychological warfare in the vein of Operation Phoenix. And now that's come home, folks, as we've seen. So in the AP case, nothing more important than freedom of the press. It is the First Amendment, the first one. We shouldn't be confusing, folks. It's not the sixth one or the ninth one. It's the first one on the Bill of Rights. Very important. So we have to decide now, do we want liberty or security? We have to decide now, because people have to understand the thing about freedom is it can be messy. People get hurt sometimes. It's not perfect. There's no utopia here in this. And that freedom of the press is more important than protecting, the spies, which I don't think there's really any danger if that was an excuse. So we now know they can get to us because they can get to AP, and watch them get away with this.
as far as that IRS thing goes, I mean, this has been done and ever since there's been an IRS, and they just had their 100th year anniversary. This is nothing new under the sun. And in fact, one of the predictions we made in 2012 was that, you know, everything that's old is new again. And Obama certainly has borne that out. So with those two scandals, none of it's surprising. The only thing that would be surprising to me is if there was any kind of accountability to this. I have noticed that a large chunk of Americans don't even know about this and don't care. Another small 10 to 15% of, cool drinking cousin Obama supporters will believe any excuse they're given, and they will fight to the death on that one without hearing what the other side says. And the same thing for the dyed-in-the-wool Republican propagandists who are not even really getting the real points that I've just, illuminated here in the last few minutes. So what good are they? So then there's only about 5 or 10% of us that really understand what's going on here and how important this is.
May I break in for a minute?
Yes.
We have a caller from the 907 area. 907, would you give us your first name and the city you're calling from, please?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Greg, and I'm calling from Wrangell, Alaska.
Oh, hi, Greg. If we could just keep you holding there for a minute, Greg, we'd like to let Jack Blood finish up his thoughts here.
And, I'll go to the caller.
And I want to thank Dave for fielding the call. As I mentioned earlier, we're all not in the same location, so when a call comes in, we don't always know, and Dave is kind enough to let us know. So you want to finish up your thought, Jack?
I'm just saying there's blood in the water right now, and we'd be foolish to waste this opportunity. The scandals under the Obama administration have amounted to something that a godfather might be responsible for. We've got the Wall Street bailouts, the stolen cash and gold out of places like Libya, Murder, Inc., the assassinations, the drone attacks, the flying death robots, the whole BP, British Petroleum debacle. Fast and Furious, operating and guarding and aiding drug kingpins and money laundering going with that. In fact, treason and even election fraud. This is a very short list. And I had suggested on Friday, on my Friday show, guys, that impeachment is certainly necessary, but maybe RICO would be the best way to take this out, because this is surely mafia racketeering. Plain and simple. And conspiracy. And they took out, as I mentioned on Friday, because I used to do my show out of Providence, Rhode Island, and they took out the mayor of Providence on a RICO. He kept denying he knew anything about anything. I didn't know it. Buddy. I didn't know it was the other guy, Buddy Cianci. Somebody beneath me did that. I had no knowledge of it. It sounded just like Obama here for the last 4 or 5 years. And that's a way to get this guy, to take him down. There should be a giant RICO trial in this country right now to lay this case out to Americans, to not let them forget what's happened, and to demand accountability here, to warn any other president that might take that job, that this is what can happen to you. So there's my spiel on those two things, and I'll leave it there.
Great. Thank you,
Jack.
Let's
go to that caller. Let's find out what
Greg,
that caller
still
has
with
to
us?
Say.
Greg in Alaska?
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. And I want to say thanks to Larry and you guys and Jack for letting me call in. And one of the things that I think Jack speaks to tonight, and I heard it on the show today, Jack, you were really speaking to that 5, 10, 15% of people that are really awake. And I got to tell you, I mean, my own disclaimer, Jack truly woke me up with his show and other shows like your guys's within the last year or so, because, you know, up until that point, Jack was talking, there's dissension, and Larry's been talking about dissension. There's dissension within the freedom movement. And one of the things that I've seen is that there's a lot of, if you go to argument and debate style amongst those who claim to be within the freedom movement. And one of the things I had to say about Jack and you, Larry, and your show is that you guys are always out there talking about a true debate rather than just polemic discussion and working on the true believer syndrome. And Jack has tended to get people away from the herd mentality like Larry was talking about. And that's a great way of looking at things that are going on in this country, this world right now. So I really want to praise Jack and shows like yours for doing that.
The check's in the mail, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. But stay with us for a minute, Greg.
Greg's a good guy. He's actually a researcher and a reporter, a real reporter in his own right in Alaska, and he's helped our show out a number of times over the years with some pretty serious exposés. So he's kind of, he puts himself on the line, and he's in the thick of it to get people the truth. And you should be commended as well, my brother, my cousin Greg.
Cousin Greg, speaking of cousins.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, no, I was going to say, that's right, Jack. The funny thing is about 6 months ago, Jack and I were talking prior to a story I was doing, and we both realized that we're both from Washington State. Okay, cool. We're both from the same county. All right. We're both from pretty much the same town area our families from the same town area in the same county. So then we did some research. I did some research. I had access to the Mormon genealogy database, did some research, and discovered that Jack Blood is a distant cousin to me. So Jack and I are family, cuz.
I am not Mormon.
Yeah, well, isn't that
exactly.
God bless you.
There's anything wrong with that, of course.
No.
I have a question for Greg. Where in Alaska are you, Greg?
Well, if you know where Seattle is, if you get on an airplane in Seattle and fly about 900 miles northwest of Seattle, I'm right along the western edge of British Columbia in a little tiny town, about 2,000 people, called Wrangell. And we're on an island, like I said, about 2,000 people, and we are closer to Canada and to mountains. I mean, it's the biggest mountains you've ever seen in your life, bigger than anything Wyoming can give you or Colorado can give you. So we're on the ocean, and we hunt and we fish, and we just basically live a very peaceful, natural lifestyle out here on an island.
That's wonderful. Mm. Reason why I ask is Larry's and some of the listeners, Dave, is familiar with my cousin in New York City, but I also have cousins in Homer, Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula. They're very beautiful, lots of halibut, and what do they call that salmon in the river? Combat fishing, I think it is. But I want to illustrate something here that we talk about solutions too, and if you go back to our opening of the show, that great mix that God bless Mike Chambers of MikeChambersLive.com who did that mix for us, the speech, Martin Luther King Beyond Vietnam speech, mixed in with Gil Scott Heron's Work for Peace. And there's a key line in there that says, Gil Scott Heron says, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. We talked about, Jack was talking about the so-called Fourth Estate, which is no longer, man. It's done. The AP, all of it. It's all owned by the same elite that keep these wars going. You know, I read in one of these email blasts today, Jack and Larry, that World Can't Wait is once again asking for donations to buy an ad in the New York Times to say, don't attack Syria or close Guantanamo or something,
Would they even sell that ad? I guess that would be somewhat editorial in nature, because I've found in the past we've tried to place ads like that in big newspapers and they wouldn't even take our money.
My point is, this is the same newspaper that lied to us for a year solid about weapons of mass destruction, which gave us the war in Iraq. You know,
all the better to have it there if they'll do it. I think that's a worthy cause.
Well, my point, the point I'm trying to make is that this media is it lies to us. It works against us. And I would rather, donate the button, donate button to Jack Blood's deadlinelive.info, and most certainly, speaking of donate buttons, this radio network, the Wolf Spirit Radio Network, is totally independently owned and operated, has no commercials, and is depends on contributions from the listeners. So please, folks, if you got something to give, it would be greatly appreciated. Go to wolfspiritradio.com and click on the donate button, and that'll allow us to be back next month, and it'll allow the network to put on all the other great shows that are on the network.
Oh, with your dollars.
I'd rather give my money to independent truth-telling media, truth-seeking media, like this and deadlinelive.info and screw the New York Times. I don't want a damn dime going to them.
See, that's a great fate though, Phil. Stop right there for a second and let me take control of your show for one second.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead. Go for it. I love it.
That's a great debate to have because here we are, the New York Times readers are all over the world. And to put up an ad that is contrary to their editorial that would grab people and maybe make them think for one second, and that ad should be crafted in who suffers in this engineered, manufactured, quote-unquote, civil war and then eventual bomb out of Syria and then changing of hands of the guard. Who benefits from that and who suffers? And I want everyone that reads the New York Times to see something like that and think again. But then you raise a very good question, Phil, is why should we give them 1 cent of our money? Maybe there's a more creative and a more kind of a guerrilla advertising effort that might pay off better, and then they don't get the money. Because I definitely am with you on that. I know people that advertise on Rush Limbaugh or on Matt Drudge to get the word out, and I would not ever, ever, ever do that. So potentially that's the debate, and maybe your callers want to get in on that. If we can all get together hypothetically and put $1 million together for a big 2-page ad, that's probably all we'd get in the New York Times, you know, and that would wake people up, or we could get some people's attention, and that's important. We're right there front center in the front of the stage. Or is that you know, rewarding the New York Times for their ill-gotten gains and their crappy editorial lies and propaganda? I love that question. I love that debate.
Well, yes.
let me just say this, if I may, that whether it's the New York Times or the L.A. Times or the San Jose Mercury or whatever paper corporate stream media might be involved. I think one thing that all of us need to understand is the ultimate power, the ultimate narrative, the ultimate story, the narrative is ours. And let's make sure that it stays ours. I don't give a damn, quite frankly, where truth comes from. But let us understand. And I think, Phil, one of the things that you are saying, correct me if I am wrong, my brother, but I think one of the things that you are saying is let us not forget the systemic gatekeepers out there. We understand that the man, quote unquote, because there's a lot of women involved too, that the man is always going to try to hedge his bets, okay, to get you from the front and the back and the middle simultaneously. But this is a struggle about everyday ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And wherever the information may emanate, from wherever it may emanate, we need to understand that we are the modus for change. Whether yes. It's not the New York Times, it's not the LA Times, it's not San Jose Mercury, it's not the Seattle Times Intelligencia, it's us. It's we the people. Now, I was quite frankly, I'm just being blunt, all right? Quite frankly, I think we need to seriously develop our own independent media, okay? Independent corporations, etc. However, on the same hand, by the same token, yes, if we can utilize anything that we can as far as an information tool to get information out there, I have no problem with that. What I want us to remember, however, is let's never forget, never, where it's coming from and what their motivation is. Let's not be confused, or as Malcolm X said, let's not be bamboozled. Let's look at the truth. Let's be truth seekers. You know, whether it's Jack Blood, whether it's Alex Jones, whether it's the Power Hour, you know, with Joyce Riley, whether it's whatever it is, let's make sure that the media, is the people's media. That and that's where I'm coming from. And I hear you, Phil, and I hear you, Jack. You know, I love and respect both of you all, but I just wanted to throw that out there for whatever it's worth. And maybe we should open this up to a discussion, to hear what our callers might be thinking about that.
Very good. And speaking of callers, Larry, I don't know if we left Greg hanging there, Greg in Alaska.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you know, I didn't want to be rude, and I do want to repeat the number for those folks who may have missed it earlier. The telephone number to call into the program is 775-657-5973. Once again, that's 775-657-5973. And I would like to preface this to folks calling in. When you do call in, please give Dave your name and where you're calling from. That would help Dave on his end. I'd like to would you like to say something about that, Greg? You've had your own reporting and research yourself. What's your take on it from someone who's actually in the field?
Well, thanks, Larry and Phil. I got one thing to say, and then I'll let you guys move on to some other callers. One of the things that I learned early on in my career, and I was never trained as a journalist. I was a musician. I used to tour with rock bands. I used to be a sound guy. And when I got out of the business, I decided I wanted to do something different. So I learned how to write. You know, autodidact, taught myself how to do it. One of the things I learned early on from a very, very good journalist that took me under his wing was that all media is local. That being said, the New York Times can go to hell. The people in New York, I'm serious. I mean, the New York Times talks to 6 million people, 16 million, 20 million people a day in print, and many more online, yet they don't have a touch. They don't have a touch with the people. They are corporate controlled. They are they're blindsided by whatever the government is, you know, fanning out to them at any given time via an AP press release or basically what the Obama nation is trying to sell to them. All media is local. That means radio, print, and internet. What you're doing, what Jack is doing, even though Jack and you guys are on the internet and you're spreading your word to a wider venue, I'm a local journalist. I write to 2,000, maybe 4,000 people a week via, you know, subscription. Those people care about what happens at the local level. Yeah. So when, if the stuff were to ever hit the fan, so to speak, people in Seattle are gonna be living in Kent, or they're gonna be living in Redmond, or they're gonna be living in Snoqualmie Falls. People in Nevada are gonna be living in Reno, or Carson City, or Sparks, or Elko. Same thing in every state in the union. They're going to have to rely on local media. So to look at the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune or the Los Angeles Times or any of these other mega conglomerates that are owned by basically shills of the government is to do a disservice to yourself. People need to wake up to what they watch, what they listen to, not just what they eat. I mean, you could eat good, non-fluorinated food all day long, but you could still be suffering from mental decay by watching your television.
But we get what we pay for, right, Greg? I mean, we get what we pay for. That's the problem, is if we buy time on MSNBC or we buy time at the New York Times, which actually delivers their newspaper, if people didn't know, all over the world. People in Texas get New York Times deliveries on their front doorstep. That's how they market it. World Can't Wait needs to find a better idea, and usually I think they're good at coming up with this. It almost would be better, Greg, Larry, Phil, if they took the whatever $100,000 or whatever they're going to spend at the New York Times, it's going to be a lot of money, and went to the top of the building, of the New York Times building, and just threw it off in $1 Federal Reserve notes to the people. And then the news would go, why did you do this? And then they would get it out, and it would be a big viral news story. It would actually be more creative, better, and then we wouldn't be funding the very people that have been making the case for the war. What absolutely amazes me, and thanks, Greg, for calling in and stuff, and Larry, you know what I'm talking about here. What amazes me is the very same people that wouldn't put up with this under George Bush, and we remember how the New York Times covered the wars under Bush, and how Seymour Hersh at the New Yorker and all these guys, where has he been for the last 4 years? All these people had great contacts, and they were cracking the code, and they were telling us, you know, how immoral and how terrible these wars were, and not anymore. So, I mean, I think the New York Times has to be called out as hypocrites, and maybe you need to put that ad in the New York Post just to just shove it up there, you know what. But I think a creative and guerrilla attack style media, some big event and something that can go viral would be better way to spend your money, man, and give it back to the people. They probably need it anyway.
Well, if I can jump in here, Larry and I have had this discussion as far as being more of insiders in these groups. Now, let's follow the money, and it doesn't always you don't always have to follow it in one direction. You know, let's follow it from the New York Times back down into World Can't Wait. All right. Now, there's something we haven't talked about. I mean, the purpose of these ads and all these efforts are to stop the daggone wars, right? Let's say this is Syria, and not many people know, Jack, that there's a resolution out there in the House, HCR 3, which was initially put into introduced by Congressman Walter Jones in March of 2012. And what that does is it threatens impeachment should the President of the United States once again attack another country without first getting proper approval from the Congress. He did that with Libya. And that's what made Walter Jones introduce this legislation, because the same old play, man, the same old players, the same media, you know, Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, you know, the leaders killing his own people. It's the same bullshit, man. And so this guy, Walter Jones, seen it coming and put in this piece of legislation. He had 10 co-sponsors, but it was an election year, you know, so the anti-war people didn't want their flocks to know this. You see what I'm saying, Jack? And that's why I want to go from the New York.
Wait a minute, Bill. I just want to interject. The so-called anti-war people. Let's be clear about that.
Yes, and I'm talking
anti-war people. Go ahead, go ahead.
I'm talking from an insider. What's that, Jack?
The alleged.
Yeah, allegedly. I'm sorry. The patented Jack Blood allegedly.
But Larry, this is a trick. This is a magic trick, because Congress voted to go to war in Afghanistan, and we're still at war in Afghanistan. I don't believe this whole. I understand why people are saying it, and maybe it makes them jump through another hoop, and it makes it a little harder to go bomb Syria tomorrow, which they've actually already been doing, and using chemical weapons and God knows what else. Torture. Let's be clear here. They're hiring Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, to be the uprising in Syria. The very Al-Qaeda that they're taking our rights away for, and in designing and developing the NDAA for, to stop us, to save us. In fact, Obama is also guilty and could be prosecuted under his own NDAA. I mean, that's the irony of this.
Yes, Congress
putting a rubber stamp vote on going to war because they're lobbyists, and somebody is paying them off to go do that. I don't trust Congress to even have that vote. Maybe it's better than a war power invasion, but it's still no good.
But let me. I'm sorry, Jack. Let me talk as an insider in the organized anti-war movement and what I've seen from the inside, okay? Not many people, they're not telling you about what's going on as far as us arming the Al-Qaeda to so-called rebels. That's not coming out. And by the way, if you want to see some real good information on all that, go to stpeteforpeace.org. They do some, Chris Ernesto and the guys over there do some wonderful work on that. But what I'm talking about, Jack, is what Larry was writing about. It's the bottom up, the call from the people. We're talking about gatekeepers. I was able to do a piece a while back called Anti-War Insider Calls Out Chris Hedges and other anti-war orgs on NDAA and impeachment. And immediately people were saying, how can you criticize Chris Hedges? You know, and they were missing the point. Here's this thing about the gatekeeping and the left-right Democrat Republican concerns and how they supersede, you know, they trump the actual so-called purpose of stopping the wars. Let's say in the same week that Chris Hedges introduced his lawsuit, it was in January of 2012, against the President Obama administration for the NDAA, the indefinite detention provision. Ron Paul introduced a half-page piece of legislation that's all it would do was simply strike out Section 1021, okay? Now, nobody heard about it, especially on the left and in the organized anti-war movement. They would, and the reason being was, and Chris Hedges and all these folks could have said, could have filed this lawsuit, and at the same time, they're not mutually exclusive, say, look, get your congressman to get behind this piece of legislation. You strike out Section 1021. There's nothing to go to court over. But here's the thing, Jack, and I'm talking from as an insider, that Ron Paul was running for president. The only person that would use the power of the presidency to call an immediate ceasefire without needing to go to Congress, and also to use the presidential pardon to free all of the nonviolent drug offenders that are in this nation's prisons, many of them people of color. The two most racist policies our government has is these wars of aggression on brown people all over the world, and the prison industrial complex that fills our prisons with a very disproportionate amount of people of color there. He was running for president, and the people on the left did not want their flocks to know about Ron Paul's provision because they were already concerned that people that would normally vote Democrat would vote for Ron Paul because he would end the war and he would do
away with it. That's kind of water under the bridge at this point.
It's illustrating what we're dealing with here as far as these groups, and that's why I said go for the New York Times.
They didn't like Ron Paul because he was a racist, because they didn't like his economic policies, and I mean, we can go into that.
My point is that there was something that could have gotten rid of the NDAA, the 1021 provision, and also there was a guy who could have used the presidential power to stop the war, and any time he was ever mentioned on the left or in the anti-war organizations, immediately there's, oh, he's a racist, he's this, that, and the other thing.
He was kooky, he was crazy, and he had economic policies that would make the poor even poorer.
Right.
We all remember that. That's water under the bridge. I'm not saying you're right. I understand.
No, I'm saying let's illustrate.
But I understand your point is the thing. We gotta go above that. We have to go to the next level now because that is the point, and that's a good point. And thankfully we had Ron Paul in those debates to kind of
say things that no one else was going to say really made
I'm
a lot of...
I'm not making Ron Paul the focus here. I don't want to make him the focus. I want to make
people
that controlled the narrative there, like Larry was saying, that the narrative was hijacked, and as a result, nobody knew about this provision, and we all paid the price for it. And it's the same thing with these wars. Nobody's talking about this threat of impeachment.
Sorry, because I think that is the point, that the guy that had the solution, you brought it up. I mean, bring up Walter Jones again. He's a Republican. You know, the people that have the solutions are not palatable to the people you're trying to reach on the left. They are not going to go for that. The second they see a R behind somebody's name, they are the villain. And that's how they've been taught. And
exactly. And this is what Larry and I have been working at for quite a while now, Larry, together and longer, separately, where we're seeing this gate that's keeping us in a corral, and we're trying to push open the gate and get beyond this, like Larry's, and it's gotta come from the bottom up, because the gatekeeping is there at the top, you know, and the important part is not Walter Jones, the important part is HCR3, and where the narrative, and they're very good at putting the narrative on the messenger, as opposed to HCR3. You know, like you said, Jack, they go right to Republican R next to his name. And oh my God, did we miss the break? 11:58? Dave, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Dave, I apologize. As you noticed,
have I ever worried about it?
No, but the coffee's kicking in here.
went on a rant.
Yeah, but because we're so conditioned, like Jack said, Larry, to just look at the things that are different and immediately throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't even know we're doing it, and that's what we have to get past. So we can work together on what you're saying in your articles about the common. The common issue, the common cause, that's hurting us all. But before we, go any further with this, I hope you guys don't mind, turning back over to Dave Corso for the break we were supposed to be taking. Dave, is that all right with you, Larry, and Jack? Or is there something you want to chime in for the break?
You're the host.
And when we come back from the break in about 5 minutes, we have a caller from the 954 area. Caller, we'll just hang in there.
And thank you to Greg in Alaska for calling in and contributing like you did. Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away. This is Dave from the Wolf's Den Studios saying welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Wolf Spirit Radio is totally listener supported by folks like you who choose to help us stay on the air and grow.
Well, hello everybody. We're back with the second hour of We Cannot Be Silent. I want to thank Dave Corso and the Wolf Spirit Radio Network for once again giving us the chance to broadcast this month. I want to also let the listeners know that Wolf Spirit Radio is independently owned and operated, does not get sponsored by any commercials or anything, so it's totally listener supported. And if you're able to give, please do so. Go to wolfspiritradio.com and click on the donate button, and please help this independent media stay on air. As Dave mentioned, we do have a caller. The call-in number is 775-657-5973, and it's 775-657-5973. And the caller next in the queue is Jeff from Lady Lake, Florida. And Jeff and I know each other, and it's a great guy. And Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Phil. It's good to talk to you on your radio. I'll get a little heads up earlier. I have to admit, this is like my first time visiting Wolf Spirit Radio, and it's been enlightening. And you and I have a lot of shared experiences, and you know, I'm glad I had the opportunity to call. And I wanted to move the subject just a little bit, if I could, because I noticed that in Congress, they're considering the reauthorization of the AUMF, or the authorization, you know, to use military force in Afghanistan against Al-Qaeda, which enabled Bush to lead us into war crimes. But they're considering limiting the president's power going forward to, you know, to maintain those things. And then at the same time, about halfway through Jeremy Scahill, you know, a renowned, you know, investigative reporter from Democracy Now, and a fellow at The Nation, he's got his latest book out. It's called Dirty Wars, and it really goes undercover to expose the way that, like, how should I put it? The face that's put to the public is that, okay, the CIA is now drawing back from their drone program, but at the same time, it's coming under the jurisdiction of JSOC, or the Joint Security Operations Command, and they don't have to report that to Congress. And we're killing people all over the world, you know, with no apparent course to law. Anyway, I just thought that maybe you guys might address that, and I'll hang up and listen for your answer.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and you don't have to go so quickly.
Okay.
Jeff mentioned Democracy Now, and if you go to the Friday, May 17 page, astoundingly disturbing, Obama administration claims power to wage endless war across the globe. And Larry's been writing about this for quite a while with the what do you call it, Larry, the kill list, president?
Yeah, of course.
Citizenship gives you no pass.
No, correct. Absolutely not. And what I'd like to hear, if I may at this point, is I want to hear Jack Blood's take on this. I mean, Jack, you know, you're with us, so come on, man, give us what you have to say with respect to
whatever you're thinking,
and the caller.
Yeah, I really have to throw some praise on Jeremy Scahill. He just messes people up. And I saw he was on Tavis Smiley here last week, and it was great. I just want people to go check that out. And I cede the rest of my time to Larry Pinkney, the Pink Panther.
You're funny. You are so funny. No, I mean, you know, all I have to say is this. Bottom line, you know, I've been writing from, with respect to the Obamatron, Drone Man, NDA, signing, you know, corporate control fascist Obama, for many years. I mean, well before Obama became, quote unquote president, the selected, not elected, the selected president. But let me just say this. I think that it's really important for us to understand that, and Jack, I'm going to go back to you. You've been doing this for at least 18 years. All right. And, you know, I tend myself to be highly suspicious of, and wary, if you will, very cautious, if you will, of any who come out after so many of us, including you, Jack, put our necks on the line. We were out there on the limb by ourselves, euphemistically speaking, to educate and inform people as to what the real view is, what is really going on, whether it's the Democrats, Republicans, Republicrats, as I call them. Now, having said that, I want to go back to you because you're our guest, and I want you to lead this this segment of the program as to where you want to go. I'll follow you. Bill will follow you. Yes, we definitely, how shall I put this diplomatically? We definitely have our concerns with what I consider to be certain opportunists out there who see the wind blowing in a certain direction and decide, let me jump on this now. But Jack, you've been on this, as have I, as has Bill, as have a few of us, and I do mean a few, a very few of us, for quite a number of years. I want to know where you think, Jack Blood, where you think we should be heading. What are some of the things that we collectively, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people should be doing in this nation right now in the year of 2013?
Well, thanks, Larry. And the truth is we have to, you know, there's this whole thing out there where consumers are ugly Americans and we're just consumers and we're losers and that's all we do is we go buy stuff and we're just... But Phil, you talked about this earlier when we were getting into that whole world can't wait ad and vote with your dollars. Man, that is the most powerful thing you can do. So you become an educated consumer, and I mean really educated consumer. And those of you out there that want to help in this cause, you put together websites and you tell people, you get the word out where Goldman Sachs's tentacles go. And you just cut them off. I love where I live now in East Atlanta is a perfect model for what I'd like to see the rest of the country do, quite frankly. You can't put a box store in our neighborhood. You can't put a chain restaurant or a McDonald's or nothing. Nothing's coming here. In fact, there's a Carlisle group / Dunkin' Donuts trying to come into our neighborhood. There's no way because there is nothing like that here. It's not allowed. And the people have finally educated themselves enough to know that the money has to go to the mom and pops. So, like Greg, the caller, said, I mean, this is all local, but we have to be educated. It's all about our money. You know, our money is our life force. We go out and we make this, whatever it is, we make hay, we make money, we make, you know, gold coins, whatever we make that, and then we shift that out, and that's our vote, and we do it every day. We make these decisions every day. So we keep supporting Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, the Rockefeller Foundation. It's such a long list of people. Warren Buffett, I mean, if you knew what he owned and what he does to people, you would never go to Kentucky Fried Chicken or Dairy Queen or whatever, you know, all these places that these guys just like to snatch up. It's becoming a situation where a few companies own everything. And if you're an artist out there, you know this. So the greatest thing we have now is to be able to make our own markets. I mean, we really have this ability to make our own markets, our own products, and get them out to people without the help of corporations. And I'm just sorry that people don't support that more. So we start being smart consumers and know where we're spending our money. And every time we spend money going to, you know, governments or going to war machines or going to giant multinational corporations, we just got to knock it off. So that would be, like, I think a great place to start. There's so many other things we could do, but right there, if we just don't blindly slave away all day for no money. Look at the disparity between the inflation and what we're getting paid now. It's incredible. In fact, we are at like 1920s, 1930s pay scales. When you add in the inflation and what we're getting paid and you know, the cost of healthcare and everything else that goes with this, it's insane. It's absolutely insane, and no one's saying or doing anything about it. Because they can borrow money to get a big screen TV from Big Lot. So we keep paying for our own slavery. How about if we just start there? Stop paying for our own slavery. And they won't have the money to bomb people.
Well, that's something that the folks, Karen Tostado and the folks over at UnitedWeStrike.com preach, Larry. And just so you all know, Larry and I also do a short show with UnitedWeStrike.com on the second Saturday of each month. And their motto is don't buy, don't comply, and ask why. And it doesn't always have to be with your dollars. We can do if Jeff is still with us online.
I am.
Jeff, thank you, Jeff. Jeff does a similar thing where he does something. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And you know, we were talking about media ownership before and how it's been bought up from us. So we be the media ourselves. And Jeff gets on the internet. He watches these different programs, Democracy Now and such. And when he sees something like this Armed Services Committee hearing the other day, where they're basically saying that anywhere on the planet is the battlefield, and with the NDAA, the president can, on his say-so, kill anyone that he thinks is a terrorist, and they're tying that into the AUMF or whatever, the authorization to use military force after 9/11. And so Jeff, what he does is he gets on the internet and he emails the link out to this different people, and that right there is doing something from the ground up, and it's being the media ourselves. And I know we want to keep the time open for other callers as well, but I do need to tell Jack and Larry, you guys know the history of our Central Florida chapter and calling for impeachment of Obama shortly after he took office in 2009 when he bombed Pakistan. Well, Jeff here is the other chapter co-chair of the Central Florida Chapter of Veterans for Peace, former chapter co-chair, because after the resolution failed the first time in 2009, where the National would not apply the same standard of a public call for impeachment, we had Tom Santoni and a bunch of great activists in St. Augustine leave our chapter in protest. And then in 2010, Cindy Sheehan really helped push the resolution on her blog and everything. And it failed again. And Jeff, longtime, you know, strong member of Veterans for Peace, the chapter co-chair, wrote a written resignation of Veterans for Peace. And this is a fellow who campaigned personally for Obama in 2008. And I think more of us need to do this, stick to principle and be an example. Larry writes about this all the time, adherence to principle. And all this change has to come from the bottom up. And so I did want to let you folks, Larry and Jack, know who this fella is and what he, you know, that he really walks the walk. And he also.
You, sir, and make like a million of you. That's all we'll need. A million will rule the 300 million, I guess, in that respect. Really, because it's not, you know, what you're not doing, it's what you're doing. Everything you do has a consequence. So when you drive your car, when you work for the man, when you buy stuff at the Shell gas station, I mean, just all the stuff you do. You know, I love this because there's a whole new version of anarchy. They're intellectual anarchists, and I talk about them on my show all the time. And they'll be the first one to tell all of us that we're a bunch of statists and we don't know what we're talking about. And they're anarchists. They have IDs, bank accounts, credit cards, debt with banks, big screen TVs and cars. It's like, what? You know, when I was an anarchist growing up, we didn't do any of that. And I don't have any of those things. I don't buy into it. I've never in my life had a credit card, even though I've made money and I've had credit. I haven't had a driver's license since the late 90s.
You know, I don't obey. I'm not going to obey. I'm going to disobey. And civil disobedience is like a religion to me. So you all can do that if you want, if you can hack it. It's hard. You know, you gotta work a little harder sometimes to do things. But the main thing is we gotta be really conscious what we're supporting with our life force. And that's it.
Jeff?
I'm
here. Are you still with us? Was there anything else
I'm feeling a little malused in your description of me, however, but, okay. You know, it's fairly accurate. And it's like, and you and I have been like, you know, mostly brothers in a lot of things. And I think one of the main objections that I had with you was some of your, 9/11 conspiracy stuff that I thought that if it's true or not, it was like taking away from, you know, the actual action that could be taken, that it was going to discredit you, and I didn't want to be associated with it. But when it came to the impeachment of Obama, I felt like that I had agreed with you, but at the same time, you know, I had like sort of tendered my resignation from the organization, not from your particular views, but just because I'd had a death in the family of my of a real close loved one, and I was a caretaker for a couple of years, and I don't want to, like, you know, bend everybody's ear on this, but, you know, house in foreclosure, your girl is dead, and, you know, and you're trying to salvage your future, and I just, you know, I had to distance myself from the organization, and that was the purpose of my resignation letter and not and my commitment to the cause. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you. And I apologize.
It's not necessary, bro.
Yeah, well, no. I'm glad that you cleared that up after 3 years. So, okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to contribute, Jeff?
I just wanted to get Jeremy Scahill's name out there so people could read his book and become more informed.
That guy is dynamite, and really, I mean, he's a perfect example of somebody that had it all during the Bush administration and stuck to his guns. I don't know who he's working for, man. Who knows? He works at The Nation. I can't, you know, I'm a little leery of him, but I want to say to your man that's calling in, That guy is really somebody everybody should call to have on all the liberal radio stations, because he does not.
I've met the guy in New York, you know, multiple times.
He doesn't hold back, man. And he's still investigating all the new stuff, and he's right on top of it. And I love seeing him. I love seeing the liberals have to. And I hate
dirty wars. The world is a battlefield, you know, and it's like we're killing everybody. The JSOC's got a list, the White House has a list, the CIA has a list, and they don't necessarily coordinate. And as they kill these people indiscriminately all around the world with drones, with cruise missiles and all of that, for every suspected terrorist who is defined as any male between the age of 14 and 80 that gets killed, you know, I'm an American. I get the American Spirit Honor Medal from the United States Army. And this shit ain't American, man. Excuse my language. But, like, you know, I just can't go with it. So.
Well, good, Jeff. We can't go with it. And that's where I want to bring back to Larry's, the Intrepid Report column. Will we allow ourselves to be made extinct? I mean, you know, when will we say enough? And the last two sentences in that article that Larry wrote on intrepidreport.com, real change will only be brought about by we ordinary everyday people ourselves, from the bottom up, not the top down. We must save ourselves, each other, and our precious Mother Earth. Everything, literally everything, is at stake. Time is of the essence. We will not allow ourselves to be made extinct. Man, we're to this point right now where it's okay for the U.S. government to kill any of us on our own soil, just on their say-so. We've gotten that far because we haven't said enough. And, you know, you got guys like Jeremy Scahill come out like that. We got to back them, like you said, Jack. Those of us who are aware of, you know, thanks.
All that disappeared in the Obama administration. It's the funniest thing. He's got the best information. And they bring him on. And when I say liberal, please let me correct myself. I don't mean, cause I love liberal people. They're good, real liberal people, the phony liberal people, the phony liberal networks. I mean, what are we talking about here? General Electric, Comcast? This isn't like some kind of a unholy platform for justice and truth and opinion. This is General Electric and Comcast. That's what MSNBC is. They have interest in the war. The second Obama, his election was confirmed in 2008, Rachel Maddow was on the air saying bomb Pakistan. The second.
And he did. And it was a war crime.
Because today, yeah. No, it's like
and
a daily.
And we kept to purpose our Central Florida chapter called for his impeachment for the same daggone reasons the whole anti-war movement called for impeachment of the Republican Bush. And that's what Jeremy Scahill is doing here. He's sticking to principle. That's what Larry Pinkney does.
And I backed you, Phil, in your impeachment call.
Well, we went through the whole, yes, Jeff, we went through the whole, our chapter took it on, we had debates on it, and we had a vote, and the resolution passed. And Jeff was one of the ones who voted for it. But, it ain't backing me. But getting back to Larry, in your, Silence Really Is Betrayal column on the Black Commentator, .com from May 2nd, you always start your columns with, pertinent quotes, and I think this relates to what Jeff and Jack have been talking about, from Malcolm X. I'm for truth no matter who tells it. I am for justice no matter who it is for or against. I am a human being first and foremost, and as such, I'm for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole. And it's sticking to principle. It starts with us. And it's the old, first couple out on the dance floor, Jack. You know what I mean? Where people want to get up and dance, but who the hell is going to be the first one out there? You know?
Larry Pinkney will be the first.
More than likely, you're right. You're right. You know, I think that the beauty, if you will, of our struggle is that we are always, how can I put this diplomatically? We are always questioning and analyzing what we do, even as we do it. And that's a good thing, and that's a necessary thing. I think that we ordinary everyday people in this country and quite frankly throughout the entire world, throughout Mother Earth, ultimately, and we need to recognize this, and this is what, and one of the things that Jack, I've heard many times, we need to recognize that we are the ones ultimately who have the power. We have the power. We need to understand that we are the ones. The bottom line, the buck doesn't stop at the damn White House. The buck stops with us. And it begins with us. And we need to understand that despite whatever our perceived differences might be, whatever those differences might be, we had better damn well understand that what is at stake is our very survival. Our survival as a nation, our survival as a human species on this planet, indeed Mother Earth's survival herself. So this is what is at stake. This is really, let's be blunt, this is really what's at stake. All this color crap. Oh, he's black and living because he's black. No, we got to dispense with this nonsense. We have to love somebody based upon, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, the content of their character and not the color of their skin. All right? We have to accept or reject someone based upon that. And not enough, as H. Ralph Brown would say. He didn't say nothing. He said nothing. Not enough. All right? And this is what this struggle in the year 2013 of the 21st century is really all about. I am feeling a great deal of actualized hope. Not the hope and rope dope of a drone man, Barack Obama, but actualized people's hope. People saying, you know what, we're waking up, but as we wake up, you know, I always in my columns, whether it's an Intrepid Report or Black Commentator, I end my columns in the words of Gil Scott Heron, where he said, teach one, okay? Onward then, my sisters and brothers, onward, okay? So, I know that in the final analysis, with great sacrifices, we're going to turn this pyramid over. That pinnacle at the top of the pyramid, we're going to turn that over. And it's time to spread the power of the people. That's what we meant back in the day in the Black Panther Party, in the original Black Panther Party formed in October of 1966, when we said all power to the people. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, all power to the people. So, you know, we look at the wars in Afghanistan, we look at the drone killings of men, women, children in all of these countries, whether it's Somalia, whether it's Libya, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Iraq, we can go on and on and on. But the fact is, the war has also been declared on us, the American people. We, the people, have had a war declared on us in this country. And so let's begin right here at home, because there's a war that has been declared against us by the corporate-controlled, corporate-owned Democrats and Republicans, the Republican blood-sucking bastards that they are. So having said that, let me shut up and go back to Jack Blood. You are our guest, my brother. Where do you want to go?
Thanks.
Damn. First of all, I want you to write down, do artwork, and frame that Gil Scott Heron quote that you just used, and we'll auction that on eBay by Larry Pinkney, the original Pink Panther.
The revolution will not be televised.
That's right, that's Jeff. Right.
Well, it will be on the internet, but it will be like, you know, you don't, the tree fell and no one heard it.
I was just quoting.
Yeah, no. Well, quote away. So, well, I mean, all right.
No, well, I actually had wanted to, like, you know, interject about how, I didn't get my thunder stolen because I didn't have any plan in this conversation, but it's sort of like electrifying. But I wanted to say something about Martin Luther King, before a previous guest, and I don't know any of y'all but Phil, and I've never heard any of y'all before. But it was like, you know, when I, you know, the first time that I ever heard his speech on Vietnam, and of course that came from Democracy Now, you know, and that, and listened to the Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn, and, you know, People's History of America, and actually learning about how things work, I had wanted to make a comment about how, like, you know, we're 50 years now from some of the seminal speeches that Martin Luther King gave, you know, not only I've been to the mountain, you know, but his speech against Vietnam, and everybody told him, all his, you know, allies said, don't do it. But he did it anyway. And he was a brave, powerful man, and he helped change the course of history. And here we are again. So anyway, I just wanted to throw in my little MLK.
Do you know that in the circles of alternative right-wing media, they teach you, this is part of growing up in the right-wing media. I mean, you know, the real, I'm not going to mention names, but we kind of know who they are.
the right-wing patriot alternative media. They will teach you that Martin Luther King was a communist. You shouldn't listen to him. He was a sellout. And that Malcolm X was, you know, hated white people. And, you know, there's so much disinformation out there. And I think that
as were all the, the liberal theologists in Central America who were murdered for standing up for people's rights. For what it's worth.
Yeah. Well, again, it's got to start with us and just be truth tellers and as honest as we can be, truth seekers, and stick to principle as much as possible and be an example as Martin Luther King was an example, as Malcolm X was an example, you know, as Larry Pinkney is an example. Got to continue to be the examples ourselves. This is our time. And I hear some talking in the background there. Are we getting someone new coming in, or are we losing somebody?
I'm here. I've been waiting.
I'm still here.
Okay,
we have another caller from 321.
Okay, Jeff, we're going to let you go and go to our next caller. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Who do we
have? Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes, who do we have?
We have Russell from Florida.
Oh, great.
And I want to thank you, Phil, and Larry, and especially Jack. Jack, I just want you to know, buddy, it's been a long time, but I haven't forgotten about you.
No way. That's you?
Russell Gentile from Melbourne, Florida.
Not to you in years. Dude, great activist in Florida who I haven't talked to in a very long time. Thanks for joining the show. Awesome.
Yeah, Jack, thank you. And, you know, it's a breath of fresh air hearing you again. You're the real deal. And I know we've lost touch for a while, but I'm still in the fight and very disgusted, but you know, we've got to fight on, and I really liked what you had to say about taking personal responsibility individually, because I think that's the only way that we can defeat this system that we live in one day at a time, and by living it as an example, I think we can teach others.
Or we could buy an ad in the New York Times and then just be done with it. No, you tell me, Russell, what you think of the IRS punishing the enemies of the president. I think you might have an interesting take on that.
Yeah.
Well, I think I won't really talk about that on the radio. I've got to catch up with you a little bit about that in person, Jack. But, yes, absolutely. You know, it's quite possible I was targeted for speaking out. So, and it's been a hell of a number of years, so... I mean, it's nothing new. It's been going on for decades under various presidents. This one just happens to be the latest, and this president has many people fooled that he's a good guy when he's just following the script. He's a puppet for the same people. Mm-hmm. So, it's happening. Yeah. And,
I voted for a black woman for president, so that in 2008, that's something I still have to live with. And, we didn't win.
You talking about Cynthia?
I did. I voted for Cynthia McKinney because she got up into the faces of General Myers and Rumsfeld and asked, where's the missing trillions that you, before 9/11 that no one's talking about anymore, that you guys just lost? Missing trillions from the Pentagon, your budget, you just lost? Where is that?
War games.
General Myers, were you guys running drills doing the exact same thing that the terrorists did to us, pretending to do that in the skies at the exact same time on the morning of 9/11? Were you doing that? And he admitted, and she really came a long way. In fact, we did a show together here in Atlanta, and she was pretty much, her and Richard Gage were like the best things in that show. Maybe I'm biased. She really was great, and in fact, she spoke at a hemp fest here in my neighborhood this week, and I live in Atlanta, so she's all over the place. And I'm very proud, even though I disagree with her on some things, and this is the whole essence of Larry's article that we were talking about earlier, man, I am so proud to have supported her in 2008. And you can call me a racist all you want. You can call me a misogynist all you want, but I did vote for a black woman for president. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't to get myself off the hook. Russell, whatever you do before we go, give my best to your parents, because Russell's, your folks are awesome, and I think you're blessed to have them. And please let them know that I said hello and give them my best.
I will, and they ask for you. And, of course, I tell them I haven't spoken to you in a while, but you have not been forgotten in our family either. And it was wonderful having you here a number of years ago as you were the host of a conference on 9/11 with Dr. Bob Bowman. And, by the way, Dr. Bob Bowman is ill, Jack. I'm not sure if you know that.
Yeah.
He's a real patriot that spoke out in the face of the system and was blackballed as a result, and he and his wife have suffered for it in many ways. Yeah. But he's ill, and I don't know if you've spoken to him in the past few years, but we need to keep him in our prayers.
Two things about Bob Bowman. You know, first of all, when I did my last show, I used to do a show called Deadline Live. I did it for 10 years to the day, and he called into my show unsolicited and wished me well. I didn't book him, and maybe Phil, you called him. I don't know, man, but he called in, and it was so, I felt so honored to have him do that. He was the head of Star Wars under two presidents. The other thing is, when I had Tim Russert on from Meet the Press, may he rest in pieces, he meets the chills. I brought up Bob Bowman, head of Star Wars, thinks 9/11 was an inside job. And that's right about the time that Tim Russert had phone problems and we lost him on that connection. So I love him. And Phil sent me the pictures of they all went and visited him over there. And man, I mean, what an American hero, like Larry Pinkney, just an American hero. These are the people that we should be building monuments to, not our sports heroes or our pop icons. You know, these are the people that really represent not what's just great in this country, but in this world and in this universe. And I know, you know, Bob's going to come back as king of the world. He's going to, I mean, you know, this is a guy that's going to be reincarnated into the most fattest cat. That's just the coolest dude. Yeah, no, I have no doubts about that, and send my meditations out to him. And it's great to talk to you, man. Hit me up on the private line, okay, buddy?
I will, and God bless all of you guys for doing what you're doing. It's 12:45 in the morning, and you're fighting for what's right, and I commend you for it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Don't leave just yet, Russ. I'd like to fill in Larry and perhaps some of the listeners. Russ Gentile is another person who can't do everything, but can do something, and he did. And what he did was, back in 2007, organized a screening and 9/11 conference in Melbourne, Florida, and the film Terror Storm was screened, a very good film. And he sought out Jack Blood at that time and brought him to Florida for all of us. And Jack moderated the event. And Bob Bowman was running for Congress at the time, and Bob came and spoke and was part of the event. And it just goes to show that do something, and you'd be amazed what you can do if you just try, you know. And Russ organized this whole event, you know. Well,
let me not take all the props. Let me tell you something Jack did, because Jack didn't know me from Adam. I made an email contact to Jack and told him what I was thinking of doing. And Jack was responsive from the very beginning and very supportive and said, yeah, I'll do it. And I called him on the phone, and Jack, being the first rate that he is, he flew down. He stayed with me. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He never asked me for one penny. And Jack spent his weekend away from his family to speak the truth to strangers in a place he's never been. So I have to give, you know, kudos to Jack and, of course, Bob Bowman and all the people that attended. I just was the guy that organized it.
Who was that kid that did the film? Do you remember that kid you had at that event too? And he did that new film.
I knew you were going to ask me that. Yeah. hold on. It's right at the tip of my tongue now. Dustin.
Yeah. He had the biggest breaking film at that time on 9/11 Truth. But, you know, that's the thing. I go and I've spoken all over the country. I've never gotten paid. In fact, a lot
9/11 Revisited.
9/11 Revisited. Yeah. We did it. You gotta give me props.
That is still a great film about 9/11 and people should check it out. I don't know what happened to him. But.
I
do speak all over the country. I don't ask for payment. You know, we hope to get our travel expenses covered, and a lot of times that doesn't happen. But I did want to say this about Bob Bowman in his honor, and I think this makes a larger point about what we've been talking about the whole show today. Bob Bowman ran for Congress in your county, Russell. He got 49% of the vote. No, he almost won. He had the.
He probably did win.
He was well. There you go. Exactly. He.
Yeah.
No support from the Democrat Party. They cut him off. They would not.
Yeah, they blackballed him.
Not fund him. He ran as a Democrat. Almost beat the incumbent NASA guy in the, because this is NASA County. Like when I got to the airport to your gig, Russell, I saw the space shuttle taking off. Like I'd never seen that. That was crazy. But Bob Bowman got 49% of the vote. He lost by hundreds of votes and had no support from the Democrat Party. And he is the, and this is a guy that won, you know, several medals in Vietnam. I mean, you can't find a better, you know, more patriotic American than this guy. And the Democrats wouldn't support him. They wouldn't support
him.
If they'd given
doesn't
him
that prove everything we've been saying?
Yes.
Yeah, and they had that seat. They didn't care about
the
seat.
Yes, it does, Russ.
They didn't care about the seat. I want to make this point. They didn't care about the seat. They just didn't want him to win. The Democrats didn't want that to win.
Because
why,
he
Jack?
Is not part of the system. Because he's not part of the system.
And plus,
and he speaks the truth.
And here's the other thing, and it's not just, he's not just being, the gatekeeping doesn't just occur there. And I do want to say, Kathy and I spoke with, Bob's wife, Maggie, tonight on the phone. Bob had already, gone to bed. Bob is seriously not very long for this world. Russ and Kathy and a bunch of us went to see him a few weeks ago, and from what Maggie was telling us, he's near the end now. And so please keep Bob and Maggie Bowman in your prayers and thoughts, folks. And if you want to send cards or give a phone call, you can find out how to contact Bob Bowman by going to his website, thepatriots.us, thepatriots.us. And I think the best way to honor Bob Bowman is to pick up the torch and run with it ourselves and do something. And, that's how we honor these people. You know, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. We pick up the torch and run with it ourselves in our own time here. And, was there anything else that you wanted to say, Russ?
Yeah, I actually did. I wanted to kind of change gears. And by the way, I agree with everything you said there. There's no greater patriot than Bob Bowman. And the greatest way we can honor him is by continuing his legacy of speaking out in the face of the machine. Even if we have to be ground up in the gears, we have to continue to speak out and do what's right in honor of a man like him.
Thank you.
Jack, I wanted to ask you a question. This Boston bombing, the latest news that came out, I believe in the New York Times, is that this young boy scribbled something inside that boat that said that if you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims. And I don't believe it. But I wanted to ask you a question. Why would someone that is not supportive of this administration and this war go out of their way to attack innocent people at an event like the Boston Marathon, when he could in fact be killing people that are supportive of his own ideals?
Yeah.
Why do we never see anyone ever attack the establishment? It's always innocent people when they know that that is not going to be preferential or good for their cause.
We just asked that question on our show last week.
It's ridiculous.
Why are people attacking shopping malls, and why are they attacking? In fact, the point where they attacked the Boston Marathon was where most of the people run for charity. They weren't the professional runners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. There's a lot of good questions attached to the Boston Marathon. First of all, if Joe Carr, and his name's Joker, and we have the Batman thing earlier, I know it's just a giant coincidence, but if he did write that in that book, I really don't see anything wrong with that, personally. I don't think he was riding in the boat, because we were listening to the police scanner while all that was happening. He was under massive, massive flame-throwing ordnance, a full-on bullet attack. He had no chance to do that. But look, the Boston thing is really simple. Where are the pictures of the guys setting down their backpacks, and why did they put out a bolo on these guys when they knew who they were the whole time? That's the only two
questions. And they were doing this right in front of obvious agents that were there at the event watching.
Forget all the rest of it. Forget that it's a play or it's an illusion and there's crisis actors or whatever people get into today.
Mm-hmm.
The two questions are, where are the pictures? Because Devil Patrick, who is now about to be, he's about to be moved up the ladder. Devil Patrick admitted that before that unprecedented lockdown took place in Boston, my former hometown, he didn't even see that video. He was briefed. He just took somebody's word for it that these guys were the culprits. Where's the video of them setting down a backpack or walking around without a backpack? Any of that, we'll just take any of it and we'll run with it. That's fine. We'll move on. And why did they put a bolo out for those guys when they had been monitoring them for several years? I just want to know that.
Well, it's very similar to 9/11.
It was a false flag inside job. That's why. I'm sorry.
Yeah. and the timing of them finding the so-called landing gear parts in between those buildings right at the same time as this event was very eerily timing, was it not? To tie it all into 9/11.
Well, that's a whole new bag of worms. Larry Pinkney is out there somewhere, my hero.
Yes, I am, actually. You're my hero, too, so right back at you, my brother. You know, the bottom line is that we're going to see more and more and more of these false flags, quote-unquote. In other words, government setups, government entrapments, what does a government do that is in fear of its people? That's in fear of the people.
Amen.
Well, of course. I mean, that's what this government is doing. It will continue to do. But let's understand something, folks. It's not going to be successful because more and more and more people are waking up. Are they the majority? Maybe not. But they are a critical mass. We are a critical mass. So that's where I place my, if you excuse the expression, my revolutionary hope. My revolutionary hope is in the minds, the critical thinking abilities of the people, the critical mass. So I'm feeling extremely hopeful collectively as a people. Black, white, brown, red, and yellow, I am feeling extremely hopeful because I know that ultimately, whether we're talking about the USS Liberty, or whether we're talking about 9/11, or whether we're talking about the false flag Boston event, we, the people, are waking up. And that's what it's about. And we will, as we said back in the day, La Cima Tuchende Gimbele Saka, we will succeed. We will succeed without a doubt.
Yes. And, Larry, if you don't mind me jumping in here, Larry mentioned the USS Liberty, and I want to thank you for bringing that up. I had told some of the folks that we would bring it up on tonight's program, and June 8th is once again Remembrance Day for the 34 sailors and Marines killed and 172 wounded on June 8, 1967, in the unprovoked, blatant, aggressive attack on a defenseless U.S. naval vessel by Israel. And this has been not dealt with and covered up for 46 years. And there's a group out there, the USS Liberty Veterans Association. There's Phil Turney, who's written a couple of books and has his own show, Your Voice Counts. You know, we have handouts in our Central Florida chapter, and there's other chapters in Veterans for Peace that make the investigating the USS Liberty part of their activism. The Seattle chapter, the San Diego chapter. So please, folks, type in USS Liberty and get the word out about that. June 8th is a Saturday, and it's Remembrance Day for those that suffered in the attack of the USS Liberty. And there's two great films out there. There's Loss of the Liberty, and there's also a BBC documentary, Dead in the Water, and they both came out in 2002.
Phil, can I say Google Jack Blood and USS Liberty? Because I've done a lot of work on it. People will catch all the stuff we've done on it over the years.
Oh, yeah. And DeadlineLive.info is a great website.
Let's remember what we're talking about, because Larry brought it up. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is a ship just laying around before the Six-Day War that Israel prosecuted against Egypt, and this has all come full circle with the latest Egypt revolution and information. Thank CNN. But they Israel not only attacked an American ship, but when people were trying to save themselves, they fired on them. And all of this is a matter of public record, and please look it up. It's one of those things like the Gulf of Tonkin that you just, if you don't know those things, you probably shouldn't be commenting on, you know, geopolitics. You probably shouldn't, if you don't, there's like a couple of things, you know, remember the Maine. Who wrote that? William Randolph Hearst, Rosebud, you know. And that was the Spanish-American War and the Lusitania. And, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There is always this one event that everybody keys on and that is publicized throughout the bought and paid media that sells these wars. And so we have to guard ourselves against that now. We have to be smarter than that. And I think we should be, and I think we are. So now go bomb Syria. People ask why we haven't bombed Syria. It's because of us. We're winning. They can't do it without looking like complete villains. It's harder to do now. That's it. You know, it's harder to make that playbook work, and they gotta find a new playbook. Meanwhile, we're writing our own playbook.
Mm-hmm. But they're still running the plays too, Jack, and so we've got to be vigilant. This morning on C-SPAN Washington Journal, the early morning call-in show, William Crystal was on, and I, you know, getting back to people who, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Two of the first three calls into Crystal were talking about Building 7. You know, yeah. On 9/11, you know, this is part of it. These are things anybody can do. You know, speak the truth. What is it, Larry? Truth to power? What would they say back in the day? Truth to power or power, something
yeah,
like that?
You speak truth to power and you never stop. You speak truth to power no matter what. Go ahead. Brother.
Anyone can do it. You know, so, sorry for interjecting there, Jack, but I knew William Crystal.
I actually
God, you want to get up and smack
Mr. Peanut?
person once. I met right. William Kinkel in person. He is just as cold and detached as you might think. Yes, he is. I had an opportunity to meet all the big pundits and all the big, yeah, man. And this is the thing that I took away from it. I remember when I was working on Media Row at one of the conventions, at the Democratic convention, John Kerry was the nominee, and his first thing was he came out and goes, "I'm John Kerry, I'm reporting for duty." No, we're anti-war now. You didn't get that memo? Okay, anyway. And I'm sitting on Media Row, and I'm at the Fox station. You know, I mean, it's Jack Blood and Fox, and I'm interviewing people about the Federal Reserve. I'm just doing my thing, you know. How I got in there is a long story. And Tony Snow, you know, he was the press secretary for Bush at one point, is 2 feet away from me doing his show every day right there, the same time, every day. And so I got to talk to Tony a lot, and he was a pretty good guy, really. I mean, all in all, he's just doing his job. That's what people have to understand. There's no big conspiracy. These guys don't all go to a thing and wear a hat and swear their allegiance to Moloch or something. They're just doing their job, man, and they get perks to do their job, and they do their job, right? So Tony Snow is there, and at one point I got a great picture of me in the middle, Tony Snow on one side, Michael Moore at the Bloomberg station on the other side. It's all three of us, you know, and it's like right, left, and who knows what I am. But then Al Franken came over to Tony Snow, and he was, "Oh, hey, what's up, Tony? How's the family and everything?" And they were just really they were having a great conversation. And I was like, wait a minute. You've been dividing all of us between Al Franken and Tony Snow, or you know, I could just name them all, and I met them all at that thing, and no, we're buddies. We hang out, we have dinner, and our families know each other. Wait, no. You can't divide all of us, and you guys are friends. That's not cool.
Exactly. Professional wrestling.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. And Hulk Hogan and versus Randy Macho Man Savage. And behind closed doors, they're both getting rich and laughing their fat you-know-what's off. So that's exactly what it is, Jack.
Stage for public consumption. That's why we need to be better consumers. That's why I think the whole answer is right there. It's kind of
and
simple.
Well, how many we could pictures? Be the media ourselves at the same time. Don't have to be mutually exclusive. Sorry,
how many
go
pictures
ahead.
Do we have to see of John Bonner and President Obama laughing at dinner and getting along just fine, or Bonner with Hillary Clinton or Bush and Clinton? How many pictures do we have to see of them playing golf together or hanging out and having a good old time to figure out that it's all lies?
Yeah. More than the good old boy solution, the solution the media has put in front of us is the two sides don't get along enough. They need to get along better. They need to compromise more. They need to compromise and work together, and they need to put together all kinds of stuff against us, the people, and get together, and we'll all just, we just don't like the fighting, because we hate fighting. It's just the fighting is really very upsetting and makes us very nervous, so we don't like the fighting, and they shouldn't fight so much. They should get along and work across the aisle to fuck us.
To get along and pass legislation, the biggest things they're all supportive of are the things that, and they're all united on, are the things that are attacking liberty and freedom, starting wars, continuing to allow Monsanto to poison us and other corporations to poison us. Those are the things they all seem to agree upon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Larry,
the theme of the show, though, Phil, let me jump in here. The theme of the show is we all don't have to agree. We don't. And really, that is such conditioning. This is the conditioning. Well, Congress needs to agree. We all need to agree. The media should agree. And you, the people, should agree. We should all just agree. We should just agree on things we don't even know anything about. Just start agreeing. Just agree all over the place and everybody will be happy. It's not that simple. So the thing is, though, we don't agree. We kind of agree. Those of us that are for freedom, by the way, for those of you out there, you know, writing this down on your scorecard, on your golf card, freedom is life, liberty, and property. That's what it is. If we don't know, let's figure out what it is. Because if we don't know what freedom is, we're in a lot of trouble. If we don't have a consensus on that, we're in big trouble. Big trouble. Life, liberty, and property, I think it is, because property takes care of so many issues. Life and liberty, you know, what else is there? So that's it. That's it. Freedom is the answer. What's the question? And we start putting that through our little supercomputer brains that we have that came before computers. And all of a sudden, we start answering the question. Well, was this thing good? I don't know. Am I more free or less free? I'm less free? No, that's not good. And we begin to answer these questions. Man, the thing I love about Larry Pinkney, the thing I just love about you, man, and why all my listeners love you, and why you are a national treasure, is because you got beat down, and infiltrated, and COINTELPRO'd, and you were a political prisoner, and you just won't shut up, man. You will not stop. You know, you keep going. You are the Energizer Bunny of freedom. You keep going, and you know, my man, and he was pink too, I think. My man, people need to quit splitting hairs about what your economic solution is, what your religious solution is, you know, what you think about sex. What kind of rock and roll do you listen to? I don't know. Where do you go shop on the internet? Where do you go shop? Who's your friends? I don't know who your friends are. Where do you live? I don't know. What's your license plate number? I mean, what are we falling into here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about the survival of all of us, as you talked about, you know, life and liberty and property. You know, that's the substance of humanity, right there, okay? And you know what? For as long as I live, and I can say the same about you, Jack, Phil, Dave, as long as we live, and there are quite a few others out there, you know, quiet as it's kept, who feel the same way, for as long as we live, we will not stop, not even for a heartbeat, and we will succeed. Of that, I am certain we will succeed. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be long. It's going to be hard, but we will succeed. And, you know, I want to say, because I know we're drawing to the end of the program, I want to say right now, one, to our listeners, thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us all over the world, all over the nation. And Jack Blood, my brother, you keep on keeping on. All power to the people, Jack. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. You're teaching me things all the time, and I have an open mind. It's a crazy thing. I just keep an open mind. Maybe I'll learn something today.
I did.
Thank you, Jack. I guess we're down towards the end of the show here. We want to thank Russell for calling in, and again, please try to remember Bob Bowman and his wife Maggie in your thoughts and prayers, and again, information on how to get in touch with them is accessible at thepatriots.us. That's Bob Bowman's website. Once again, Dave, before we sign off, are there any other callers in the queue?
No, sir, there's not.
Okay. Well, of course, we want to thank our special guest Jack Blood of the Jack Blood Show. You can learn more about Jack and his show and how to access it by going to deadlinelive.info. And it's a great news website. Jack's program does broadcast Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time on the No Agenda Global Radio Network, which is nagradio.com.
Bill, again, Adam Curry. This network was formed for Adam Curry, which a lot of people know from MTV. Right? Okay. And we also have Scott Horton on, who is one of the greatest news analysts who ever lived and plays great music as well. Scott Horton, a lot of people might know who he is, put him in a search engine. Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, myself, Bob Tuskin, and Scott Horton. Can I just plug all those other guys?
Oh, they're all- certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for adding that in. Yes, please check them out. Thanks for adding that in, Jack. And support this independent media, folks. Those of you who are listening, let's be the media ourselves. Stop feeding the people that are misleading us. And we also want to thank Dave Corso of WolfSpiritRadio.com, who once again is done a fantastic job in putting on the program for us tonight. Dave and WolfSpiritRadio.com is also independently owned and operated, and depends solely on contributions from the listeners. And if you can, please help out the cause here. Go to WolfSpiritRadio.com, and there'll be a button for donate and help with whatever you can. We sure would appreciate it. Of course, we want to thank Larry, as always, for being there, and the listeners, and the folks that called in, Russell from Florida, Jeff from Florida, and Greg from Alaska. Did we miss anybody?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Larry, do you have any closing comments?
Well, no, not really. I guess the only thing I can say is that, once again, my deep appreciation to Jack Blood. You know, I love you, brother. You stay strong. My deep appreciation to the audience. Phil, keep on keeping on. Dave Corso, you're the man, my brother. You're the man. Keep it keeping. You know, without you, we wouldn't be here. Okay, thank you so much. All power to the people. All power to the people.
Thank you, Larry. And for the listeners, make sure you get to Larry's website, which is blackactivistwg.org. Blackactivistwg.org or .com, Larry?
.org.
Deadlinelive.info, deadlinelive.info for Jack Blood. Jack, do you have any closing comments?
Yes, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Thanks, man. Appreciate you guys having me on. It was a real blast.
Thank you, wow. Jack. Hope we can do it again sometime. Dave, before we wrap up, would you have any closing comments for us?
I am so grateful that I have this radio station where you gentlemen can come on here and speak your truth. I am just, I was given this radio station essentially all 3 years ago. Not Wolf Spirit Radio as it is today, but it started off as Pig Radio, which is Project Information Generation Radio. Then I moved it up to Pig Radio 2. Then the Wolf Group Radio, and that didn't work out, and then we put together Wolf Spirit Radio. So I asked the creator, I said, what do you want me to do with this radio station? He said, you'll learn. And in spite of having six college degrees, I hadn't learned a thing until I opened up this radio station.
Well, we're sure glad you did, Dave. This has really been a really neat time for us all, and I can't thank you all enough. Well, Dave, that's it for me, and thank you, listeners, and tune in next month as the third Monday of the month, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on WolfSpiritRadio.com. For Larry Pinkney, for Dave Corso, and our special guest, Jack Blood, this is Phil Restino saying good night, and thank you for listening.
I cannot be silent.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general, I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed. Because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex.
As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problem, to bring about the changes it wanted. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed and the ghetto without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent. I cannot be silent.
Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
I cannot be silent.
Empowering the body, mind, and spirit. This is We Cannot Be Silent with Phil Rossino and Larry Pinckney.